words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is a really short word. I'll do this little passage probably tomorrow too. But reading this morning, and I wasn't even in this scripture, but it had a reference that took me there. And it just so convicted me in a wanting to go for it kind of way. Conviction isn't condemnation. Somehow we think that's true, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Jesus took your condemnation at the cross. As a matter of fact, you were condemned in him, in his person, at the place of execution. And so you can't be condemned because you've already been condemned and died. And now you're a new creation in him, but God does convict us. And it does produce a godly sorrow. Not a guilt that cripples us, but a godly sorrow. But there, so when I read things like this, years ago, it used to make me just feel terrible and so guilty. But what it does is bring hope, convicts me to the point of hope. And there's a repentance, it says in 2 Corinthians 7, that produces life. There is a repentance, if it comes out of just guilt, that produces death. And when I saw this morning, I was just reminded of several things in Scripture. One is that Jesus has called us to be Christ-like. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, it says that's our destiny. In verse 29 and verse 30. Every one of us may serve the Lord in different arenas. Some of you may be in, quote, full-time ministry, but the truth is everybody's in full-time ministry. Your mission field is right between your two feet. And it may look different. Everybody does different things. We have different giftings and all that, but we all have the same predestiny, and that is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. In John chapter 20, he said to his disciples, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." And we know from our study in the book of Acts, from Acts chapter 1, verse 1, that who we are, what our calling is to continue to express, to experience, and to express the life, the message, and the ministry of Jesus on the earth. That's the calling of the church, collectively and individually. That's your predestination, is to be so conformed to the image of Jesus that you continue, through you, the life, message, and ministry of Christ. And so when I see things like I talked about Sunday, when I read Scripture, particularly the Gospels, I don't see it as information. I see it as invitation. When Jesus again saw Peter walking on the water, I mean, other way around, right? When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he saw that as an opportunity. What he thought was, if he can do that, maybe I can do that. Maybe if I'm supposed to follow him, it means things like that too. And so he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." And Jesus said, and he walked on water. And it's important that we begin to understand that, is that the book of Acts, the Gospels, everywhere in Scripture is an invitation, but especially those biographical sections where the life of Jesus is lived out, the life of the believers, the apostles, and the followers of Christ are lived out. Those are invitations, not just historical events that we study and it's exciting. Jesus said, "As a Father sent me, so send I you." So anything it says about Christ, except for his ability to atone for our sin, to me is an invitation. Because see, Jesus also said, right, the works that I do, you shall do even greater. Jesus did the things he did according to Acts. Let me read these familiar passages to you if you've been around here for a while. Acts 2:22, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man, attested to you by God." The word literally means attested is to declare as true and genuine. Jesus, it says, Scripture here says, "I'm going to give you the genuine article, what mankind is supposed to be like." Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he laid that down, according to Philippians 2, and lived as a Spirit-filled man. Just as important that he died for us is that he showed us how to live in the life that he lived. "A man approved to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him, just as you know in your midst." In that amazing passage in John 14. I'm doing all this preliminary for like a 3-minute word. Do Do you not believe, John 14:10, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak them on initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. And then the whole upper room discourse is that in the same way, I'm in you and you're in me. So I'm going to do the works, live the life through you, just as I've allowed the Father to live the life through me. So when I go back to this passage in John chapter 3, verse 34, and I hear this, for he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, and God the Father continually gives him the Spirit without measure. Years ago, I don't know, 25 years ago maybe a little bit longer than that, it came out of the Vineyard. And I don't remember if it was Paul Kane, who has since really struggled in his walk with the Lord, or it came from Wimber. But the word was that God will pour out his Spirit without measure on those without mixture. And it says about Jesus that he was tempted in every way like unto us, yet without sin. In Hebrews chapter 2, Jesus was so committed identifying himself with our humanity, and there's a lot of reasons for that. In the Song of Solomon, six different times, he refers to us as his sister and his bride. Sister, speaking of, he identifies with our humanity, and yet, so we would understand that he knows fully what it is like to be human, and yet chooses us to be his bride anyway. This is a remarkable passage of Scripture. But this is in chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things. So Jesus lived his life as a human. Though he was God, he lived his life as a human, filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says about him that the Lord continually gave him the Spirit without measure. When I read that today, I thought, Lord, again, invitation. I don't know if I'll ever get there. It says Jesus lived there constantly. The Lord Father was giving him constantly, that's a present tense verb, constantly giving him the Spirit without measure. And I do believe that word. It's, you know, it's not that you can't know the Spirit or experience the Spirit if you have mixture. But the Scripture does say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. I don't want to just hear about God. I don't want to just read about God. I don't want to just you tell me about God. I don't want to go to conferences and just hear them tell me about God. I want to see God for myself. And I want to go as far as I can in that. And I want to put myself in a position to be Christ-like. Christ-likeness is that he knew the Spirit without measure, continuously. Wouldn't it be fun just to live one day where didn't you just know the Spirit in your life moving, but you knew him without measure? Just one day. And yet his invitation is for us to live there every day. You say, well, Bishop, that's impossible. Yeah, it is if you don't think it's possible, I guess. But you see, like I mentioned again Sunday, four different times in the upper room discourse, he says, anything you ask me, everything you ask me, in my name I'll give it to you. I haven't experienced that. And yet I don't think he's so cruel as to open that up to us and say, you can't really get there, but I'm going to invite you to get there anyway. We should at least be shooting for that. Amen. So I just believe this is not like we're at a time. This has always been his invitation, is that you can be Christ-like. You can know the Spirit continually without measure. And I know at least part of that is because even though Jesus was tempted in every way, he didn't sin. Now, we're going to sin. He never did. But I know it has something to do with how yielded we are to him. And Jesus was absolutely, totally committed to his Father's will. And at least we can start there, right? And we can walk in as much victory as he offers us by his grace so that we can know as much as we can in terms of measureless manifestation of the Spirit of God in our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.